Back to the Beat. Bulls Beat continues with Derek Sharp.
So we got baseball at home this weekend. We hope that Saturday and Sunday's games are not on Bulls Unlimited. We'll explain why and give you some highlights of a run rule victory from Wednesday. Also tell you where softball and golf and tennis, which by the way, has its home finale already this weekend. That officially snuck up on me. Track and field as well. And I said I'd give an update on the women's basketball sort of bubble watch. It's a different sort of bubble than Jose Fernandez's teams are used to looking at. In fact, they're not often on the bubble. You either know they're going to the NIT or far more often than not, nine times total, the NCAA, eight times in the last dozen years or so. This year is definitely different. First of all, the NIT is not the tournament that you would prefer. It's the new WBIT. 32 teams, and here's the thing to watch out for this weekend. Every regular season champion that doesn't make the NCAA tournament gets an automatic bid. It's already happened in a couple of conferences, but there are still about a dozen that haven't decided their champions. So it's too many to run down for you here. I'll obviously put it on social media, and we'll find out if the Bulls are in that event on Sunday night. If too many of those number one seeds lose, then that probably squeezes the Bulls out of that field and thus ends their season. They'll find out if it continues on Sunday night. Oh, the American is one of those conferences where the number one seed lost. We told you all about it on Wednesday's show, where three teams that tied for first place, only one of them won one game, and it was in triple overtime. The final on Wednesday night, what a performance by Rice. There were not many games that were decided before the final minute the whole week in Fort Worth, and Rice won two of them, including the final, destroying East Carolina, 61-41. And so Rice, which was the 10th seed, but remember, the final was the 9th seed versus the 10th seed. Both of those teams are actually tied for six. It was a five-way tiebreaker. They happened to be the two teams that were on the bottom end of the tiebreaker, and both just a game out of fourth. We talked about it all year, how closely competitive the league was. Rice probably headed for a 14 or a 15 seed, and also probably headed to Austin, Texas, if I'm guessing. And I've seen both Rice and Texas play. I think Rice could actually give them a little bit of a test. The Bulls actually end up, if it just goes by computer ranking, they're the third available best team in the WBIT. Rice ended up actually third, but Bulls fourth. However, Tulsa underneath the Bulls gets the automatic bid. In other words, the whole thing comes down to if that tournament wants to take four teams from the American, and it's a possibility. Find out on Sunday. Well, we found out on Wednesday, bad news when it comes to the leader of the baseball team being out for a significant amount of time. First of all, head coach Billy Moll talked to me before the game, and then one of the guys that'll try and offset the loss of Bobby Bozer started the game off right for the Bulls.
Yeah, he suffered a handmade injury. He had surgery yesterday and got it repaired. We're probably looking anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks. Obviously, that's a huge blow. But adversity, everybody goes through it. And if there's one guy that can handle it better than anybody, it's him. You know, it's an opportunity for other guys to step up. Bobby Bozer's a tough one to replace. But we got quality guys behind him that are ready to step in and do their part.
That's the thing. You do have some choices to make, at least, and that's a good thing. Defensively, how do things sort of shift around?
Yeah, well, I mean, Johnny Montez, we've been having at first base. He played second for us a lot last year. So, you know, he's going to slide back over to second for right now. Stuart Puckett, kind of a newbie to the lineup, kind of like Betancourt was a year ago. He swung the bat well, and he's going to take some reps at first tonight and roll with that for now. So guys are getting their opportunities. They need to make the most of their opportunities and step up.
Stuart Puckett with the bases loaded, the lefty, the redshirt freshman. Oh, man, does he turn on that ball. If it's fair, it's going to be extra bases and a bunch of runs early on. It drops fair easily. One run scores. Here comes run number two with Snow. They will hold the brakes on Ben Rosenblum. And how about that? I guess the insertion of Stuart Puckett in the lineup was a pretty solid move. A two RBI double.
Puckett started over at first base. Montez goes to second. Eric Snow, who, if you didn't catch it, was actually playing some second with Bozer moved over to short. So Snow's your shortstop again. And at third base, at least on Wednesday, was Joaquin Moncay with Marcus Brodell getting the start. In other words, Puckett getting the look over Rose. Rosenblum was the catcher. There's going to be some options offensively and defensively that'll be interesting for Coach Moll. Get to the ending as we kind of realize that it was a bullpen night for Maine. And in fact, their starter was pretty solid. He had a bad outing his last time out. Didn't get anybody out against Bethune-Cookman in the 19-16 loss. He actually pitched a 1-2-3 first. So that highlight you heard was from the second inning. Bulls put up a four spot, but couldn't hang on. Logan Beavis, who had gone six up, six down, walks a few, and Maine actually tied it up. Bulls get a bases loaded walk, looking for a shutdown inning in the fifth, can't get it, down 6-5. And then Marcus Brodell, full count, two outs, takes a pitch just high. Then Drew comes through. Brutcher, a two RBI single, Jackson Mayo, a double. The Bulls would lead 10-6, and then it was definitely a bullpen night for Maine. They threw out a guy who had really struggled with control, Noah Lewis, and man, they left him out there. Walked six in the seventh inning, and we realized part of that was Maine's going, yeah, we're not coming back. If the run rule happens, the run rule happens, and the run rule happened.
And that ball is lined to right. Runner at third had to hold up. Now he is going to come home easily. And Mock is the latest Bull to score. Bad throw, and I guess we're about to find out if there's a run rule in place because Montez comes home. And I guess, well, are they coming off the field or not? I guess that might be it. Yeah, Chris Cates is coming home. That's the ball game. None of the main players wanted to come out of the dugout because maybe they weren't told, you know, coming into the inning that, hey, guys, if we cough up seven, game over.
Walking 13 times in the game. So they'll play NC Greensboro. Hunter Minkel pinch tonight. Jack Siebert, the Saturday scheduled starter. The Spartans coming off a pretty nice win. Try 18-3 at NC State. This was coming off getting swept at Clemson. Oh, by the way, they are not afraid to take on the ACC. They started off the season 4-0 with that fourth win, a midweek 4-3 win against top-ranked Wake Forest. So this is a tested team, and they have one particular player with some incredible numbers, Caleb Cozart. He hit two homers, including the one that finished off the rout on Tuesday, a nine-run ninth inning, hit a grand slam. He's got eight homers already this year, had six last season, started off his career at North Carolina, where he did not hit. He was a pitcher, so yeah, Caleb Cozart's numbers jump out from a power perspective, but he's hitting just .236, and that's right around their team batting average. We'll see if the Bulls can prevail. They've also got two in-state games next week at FGCU Tuesday, FAMU at home Wednesday, and then they start off American Athletic Conference play against Memphis. The women began last weekend with an extra inning win against Charlotte before a Saturday doubleheader sweep by the 49ers put the Bulls to 1-2 in the conference. And then they had doubleheaders on Monday and Tuesday. If you missed Wednesday's show, we've got it up on our podcast page. A lot of exciting stuff. Culminating with an eighth inning walk-off victory against Colgate. The Bulls are 21-9. Very much building an NCAA tournament type resume. In fact, their computer ranking is just ahead of the team they play this weekend, Tulsa. Charlotte is 13, by the way. Wichita, which is maybe looking less unstoppable. They're 10-10, but still 41st. Then it's in the RPI ranking. The Bulls at 53. New conference team FAU, which has been killing it, 54. Tulsa, 55. And North Texas, 58. So you have a half dozen conference teams in the top 60. Real quick, a handful on the baseball side in the top 100, including the Bulls, just outside the top 60. But back to softball, Tulsa, 16-7. Took care of the team picked to finish last in the league, Memphis, in a sweep last weekend. Mackenzie Denson is their leading hitter at .443. Imani Edwards, real tough at the top of the order, hits .395. Clara Skaggs, .391. Yeah, they have got some eye-popping numbers. Their team batting average is .339. Bulls might have the edge in pitching slightly, but then again, ask Iowa State, a Big 12 team that just went to Tulsa on Tuesday and got held to one run. Mara Moore went to 7-3 with the win, a 5-1 win. So yeah, Tulsa feeling very confident. If the Bulls can just take two or three, I know you don't look for a 3-3 conference start, but that would be good, trust me on that. So while we'll be at baseball, we might pop on over to the track and field stadium as it's the USF Alumni Invitational. We are into the outdoor season, obviously. It all begins Friday with field events late in the morning. Track events start at 5 o'clock, then Saturday starts at 11 a.m. Full schedule can be found on the article at GoUSFBulls.com, including all 20 schools that are participating in this thing. Hey, University of Tampa is going to be there, like that. But also some power conferences represented. Ohio State, Michigan, Purdue, and Iowa from the Big Ten. Kentucky, Vanderbilt, St. John's, Pitt. Also some American Athletic Conference schools, namely FAU and Temple. The alumni recognition Saturday afternoon at around 3:30 will feature former Olympian Damu Cherry Mitchell, along with Hall of Famers Matthew O'Neill and Kareem Black, and the senior recognition, 19 talented seniors, at around 2 o'clock on Saturday. What's cool is ESPN Plus will be streaming this event. between 4:30 and 8 Friday, and from around 12:30 to 4:30 on Saturday. Well, a chance for the men's tennis team to ascend into the rankings, because this weekend they're going to play three talented teams, including one that's on the very last spot. The ITA ranks 75 teams, and that's who the Bulls play on Friday out in San Diego at the Ed Collins Classic. Texas Tech ranked 75th. If the Bulls win, they'll likely get the host, which is number 14 in the country, San Diego. They're playing Utah, and it's a true bracket, so you get three matches in, consolation bracket if you lose, etc. Other half includes 22nd-ranked Arizona State, 26th-ranked Princeton, San Diego State, and ironically Tulane. I just say ironic because it would be something to go all the way out to San Diego to get in a conference match. After that, the Bulls still have a handful of matches left. And again, they could get that computer ranking onto the bubble if they string together some wins. But they're 8-9 right now. And generally, you got to be inside the top 50 to have a chance to make the NCAA tournament, outside of course, winning the conference tournament, which is going to be tough, but it's something Ashley Fisher's team has done plenty. The women are positioning themselves for a good ranking. Again, they ascended to 63rd before losing earlier in the week to East Tennessee State. They rolled Cleveland State Wednesday, shutting them out. All straight set victories, now 9-7, and now a big opportunity and senior day Saturday at noon against 40th-ranked Yale, which has been in South Florida, lost to FIU, which is excellent, Tuesday, beat FAU in Boca Thursday, and now is taking on the Bulls. After this, four matches left. They'll play two in Charlotte next weekend, actually get a bye week, and then play two in Miami and then Dallas, Texas, for the AAC Championship. So last chance to see the ladies, unless you plan on driving to Miami April 6th and 7th, is Saturday at noon. I'll definitely be swinging over there in advance of going over to baseball. And while we're on the air with baseball, we'll definitely be giving you updates, not just around the conference, but everything that's happening, including women's golf. They finished 13th out of 17 teams last weekend, but that was such a loaded field, it only dropped them just barely outside the top 40 in the national rankings. In fact, the men and the women are both 42, which if you're in the top 50, you're absolutely a lock for the NCAA tournament, and teams in the mid-60s also end up getting in. So the Bulls are in Arizona this weekend, Tucson. Why? Because the NCAA championships are held in Arizona. I love the scheduling by Erica Brennan. You can get a full preview on GoUSFBulls.com. Arkansas is the highest ranked team, 6th in the country. Out of the 15 teams, 13 are in the top 85, including a conference foe that's just below the Bulls, Tulsa. So a big opportunity to go back up the rankings if they perform well. And we'll have a lot to recap on Monday's show. Hopefully, conference championship winning highlights for men's basketball. Remember, 12:30 airtime today for Jim and Joey. I'll be on the air tonight at 6:15 with baseball. If the Bulls win today, it's either UAB or Wichita Saturday at 3, and the championship game in Fort Worth is at 3:15 on Sunday. I'm already getting the butterflies. That'll wrap up Friday's Bulls Beat. I'm Derek Sharp.